Today's daf in Besechet Yevamot, brought to you from Eretz HaKedesh, is daf Pei Gimel, got right up to the two words at the bottom of Pei Beit, Omud Beit, Omer Rav. Actually, we have to recognize that what Rabbi Yossi paskened in the Mishnah is his original opinion, but he changed his mind. And basically, Rav holds that Truma today is actual D'oraisa, and that's why he changed his mind, because he does not hold that an androgynous is a definite Zohar. How do I know? Because in the Braita, we find Rabbi Yossi saying otherwise. Rabbi Yossi omer, androgynous bria b'fnei atzmahu, v'lo hichriu bo chachamim im zachar im nekeva. So since he says that the Chachomim could not make a halachic determination about whether he's male or female, how could we say that he would vadai be able to be machil truma d'oraisa if Rav agrees that we're talking about truma d'oraisa? And therefore, must be that he changed his mind. Okay, now, first of all, what does it mean? Before we get to the question why we're so sure he changed his mind. So as I explained to you earlier, the pashtus of what this means is that there are issues, and this is based on the Mishnah and Bikurim, that there are issues where we need to discuss maleness and femaleness that are have nothing to do with sexual relations. So, for instance, let's say that this androgynous has vaginal bleeding. Does he become a Nida? Could he become a Zava? Let's say that he has prostatic fluid released from his male parts. Does he become a Zov and the circumstances, and so on and so forth, right? So these issues, the pashtus is that what Rabbi Yossi is saying in Bikurim is that he is neither male or female, because the Torah didn't talk about this third thing when it comes to those things. Now, what about sexual relations? Over there, we know that there is either male or female, because God created Zohar v'Nekeva in Gan Eden to sleep with each other, Zohar v'Nekeva. So which one is he? So that, Rabbi Yossi is saying, the Chachomim were not Machriya. That is to say that there's a different issue when it comes to sexual relations than there is to gender. It's not the same thing. Unless you want to limit the concept of gender, dafka to relations, fine. But in the Torah, there's many different inyonim that have to do with Tuma and Tyra that are going to be Negea, Zohar, Nekeva. Now, we're going to see at the end of the sugya that it is possible to have an opinion about the din of Zohar v'Nekeva, Legabe, and Androgynous that only has to do with sexual relations. Because in the end, Reb Eliezer is going to end up agreeing that when it comes to the din of androgynous, that the Torah says not androgynous in terms of kachim. So if you try to give kedusha to an androgynous, it won't be chal. Why not? If it's a zocher vadai. Because I said zocher vadai. I said in terms of relations. He's a zocher vadai. What does that have to do with all of the other issues that androgynous are going to be nogea? So in humans, it's nogea zifas. And in animals, it's nogea the chalois of kachim. And so on and so forth, right? Fine. So I don't understand why this is a big problem. However, there's a lot of stressing among the Rishonim about this. What is he saying? The way that Tosfos understood, Tosfos changes the whole Mishnah and Bikurim, because he for some reason doesn't see this distinction. So he says Rabbi Yossi doesn't really mean that, and when it says in the Bikurim that that's the difference between a tumtum and an androgynous. An androgynous is neither, but a tumtum doesn't mean that. It means the difference is that a tumtum we can find out if we want to, whether he's a Zohar in the cave of Hashem, came by the androgynous, we're never going to get more information than we have now. Which is not the pashtus of the Mishnah at all, right? But okay, because that's what it must mean. It's just a fancy way of saying it's a suffix. The Ramban says that it basically, if lo hichriyu, so then they gave him a din of being neither Zohar or Nekeva. So then, okay, so then he becomes a third sex, according to the Ramban. Again, he says that the Chachomi made it that way. But look, I can't tell you that she just followed the Rishonim. I can just tell you the pashtus of the sugya, and the pashtus of the sugya just is very, very simple once you make that distinction. And since the sugya itself makes that distinction, benogeya kachim, it certainly is a different way to understand the story in the Mishnah and Bikurim. Okay, so I'll leave it with that. I'm just introducing to you the complexities of the sugya over here so that you should understand. All right, especially because I made the comment earlier, and I want to make sure you don't think that everybody necessarily agrees that you have to be crazy to believe in transgenderism. So okay, fine. Anyway, fine. Says the Gemara now, just because we find a brisa that says something else, how do you know that he changed his mind or that the brisa is right? Why don't we just say that the brisa we should ignore? Letter la brisa became matnitin. I mean, isn't the Mishnah more reliable? It just seems to be a misquote of some kind, right? No, of course not a misquote. Look, how come Rabbi Shimon suddenly disappeared from the story, right? In the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi were there both. It seems that Rabbi Yossi has left his original sheet of the Rabbi Shimon and now is going out on his own and is saying, actually, I can't drink. I'm sorry, but I haven't made Abdullah yet. I just finished Shabbos. So it's 9:30. Even 9:30 was tough for me. Anyway, so therefore, since Rabbi Shimon suddenly disappeared, it's mashma that now he's going out to say a new shita. Shmami ahadaba. Where Shmuel says, on the contrary, forget about the brayta. Obviously, we're not going to ignore the, we'll ignore the brayta, and we'll say that he changed his mind. It's not a suffix. He's a vada zocher. Why? Didn't we, why doesn't Shmuel agree that we should ignore the Mishnah? I mean, of all people, for Shmuel to say that, well, I'm not going to worry about the brisa. Remember, Shmuel was the one who was always cheshish, even for like a yochid, a das yochid. And if it's more chomer than the rabbim, he's worried about a das yochid. We had this several times. So he should be the one to say, well, let's just forget about it and we'll go back and we'll go according to the Mishnah and so on. We should say the other way. No. Shmuel never said anything like that where it's going to be Iker the Pshat in the Mishnah. He said that when it's a separate, you're right. If somebody says a separate opinion in a Brisa, and it's more Chomer. So you're right that Shmuel has an unusual approach in which, even though it's not in the Mishnah, but we'll take the Brisa if it's more Chomer and we'll be Cheshish in terms of the Psak. But that's where it doesn't contradict the Mishnah. Over here, what it says over here is Rabbi Yossi's opinion is a complete contradiction. Where do you ever see that Shmuel was ready to do that? So, Hani Miriki lo mit akra matnitin, avoki mit akra matnitin, certainly he's not going to say something like that. That's crazy. So therefore, we don't have this problem here. Anyway, Lemaisa, if we're talking about over here, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon, and what happens when Rabbi Yossi goes off and doesn't go together with Rabbi Shimon, so I just want to go through the various places where we do have these actually halachas that appear in Mishnayos that are said by Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. So I just like to put them together over here. So, Amrei Beirav, Mishmei Derav. Now, we're going to see that the word Amrei Beirav, the Gemara is going to say, as we've seen elsewhere, that that's a code word for Rav Huna. He's the one that's always quoted as, they say in Rav's Beis HaMedrash, because he was the one that sort of like everybody talked to, and he was the one that was able to give over what Rav had said. So, they say in the Beis HaMedrash of Rav, quoting Rav, that halachak Rabbi Yossi bandroganus ubahar kava. So we paskin like Rabbi Yossi in these two things. The case of Androgynous Bar Kava. We'll see what that is in a minute. Shmuel says, well, actually, it's the halakas like Rabbi Yossi, binogea, a woman who is going through a difficult labor and who's been bleeding for days before the delivery. We'll see what that is too. And binogea, the din of the Kiddush, which we'll see also in a moment. So we don't know what Rav would have to say about the two cases, Bekoshi or Bekiddush, and we don't know what Kiddush over here means, you know, Pentukdash that we had before by Kloya Karam. So Kiddush means the kiddush of vegetables or the kiddush of the vines. But we'll see in a minute exactly what we're talking about. And we don't know what Rav holds about the Koshi and Kiddush, and we don't know what Shmuel holds about Rabbi Yossi and the Androgynous. Well, that's that. What are the cases? Let's just get the cases straight. Androgynous, well, we know what that is. That's the whole thing we've been talking about in our Mishnah, where he says that he's a Vaday Zocher. Harkava, that is a very interesting case, which we just had ourselves. We learned this in Shvi'is, where it says, Ein notin ve'ein mavrichin ve'ein markivin erev shvi'i. So you're not allowed to do planting of trees, or mavrichin. Remember what mavrichin is, means we take a branch of a tree, usually of a vine that's very pliable, we put it into the ground, it sits in the ground, and then it shoots out roots in the ground there, and then afterwards you can separate off the part that was connected to the tree originally, and this becomes a new tree. That's called havracha. And then we have grafting, which you all know, that just means you take a branch and you put it onto a tree, and they grow together. So you can't do that Erev Shvi'is. And when it says Erev Shvi'is, of course, as we already know, there's a Tosefet of Shvi'is. And the Tosefet of Shvi'is is 30 days before. So we'll talk about that problem. Where does that come up? We're not talking about those 30 days. Whenever that point of Erev Shvi'is is, that's where you have to stop. Because you can't do the Netiyah or any of these other ways of doing Netiyah during Shvi'is or during the Erev Shvi'is. And that would mean it takes 30 days. So it means, according to the Tadakama, since it takes 30 days for these things to either to take root or to grow into one another in the case of Arkava, or to sprout roots in the case of Havracha, so it takes 30 days, and therefore, if you did this within those 30 days, again, these 30 days are before, 30 days before the time which we're calling Erev Shvi'is, and that might not be Erev Shvi'is, because that extends back, right? We'll talk about that part in a second. And if you did this, then basically you're going to be planting during Shvi'is, because it's going to take 30 days for the plant to take root, and therefore you should get rid of it. So Yaakar. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, it's not 30 days. If it hasn't taken hold within 3 days, if we're talking about over here grafting either works in 3 days or it doesn't work at all. There's no 30 days when it comes to grafting. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, now here's where we're talking about the sheet of Rabbi Yossi. Again, this is a psak of Rabbi Yossi together with Rabbi Shimon. And Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon, Omrim, it takes actually 2 weeks for rooting. Okay. Now, Nachman, Omer, Abba, Baruch, just to make it clear that if we said, like the Tadakama, 30 days, we mean 30 days before the 30 days of Tosfos, of the Tosefet to Shvi'is, which is a total of 60 days. He's just not talking. He's calling that Erev Shvi'is. So the Divrei HaOmer Shloshim, you need the Shloshim for the taking root, or the taking hold of the graft, plus the 30 days, which is the time that anyway, you're not allowed to do anything. L'divrei ha'omer shlosha, you need 33. L'divrei ha'omer shtei shabbatot, so you need 2 weeks plus 30. And if you have tzorach shtei shabbatot or shloshim. Now, so when Shmuel said that, so that we understand that's Rav. Now, when Shmuel says b'koshi b'kiddush, what was he talking about? So he was talking about koshi, that's talking about, again, the Mishnah we had in Nida. And there we have a woman who has had a very problematic labor. She's been bleeding a long time. How much time can she be bleeding for us to assume that this is labor blood and not Ziva's blood? Because there's all kinds of different dinim. If she's a Yoledes Bezov, then she needs to have, Shiva Nekiyim, and so on and so forth, and all of these other dinim don't define her matzah. So what would be called koshi? So Rabbi Meir says, I don't care. As long as she has had labor pains with bleeding without subsiding the entire time, then if the end of that process is a birth, then these are all labor pains, and we can attribute, I don't care if it's 40 days, 50 days, whatever it is. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can give her the month. Daya chotsha. So you can give her, the way Rashi understands means whatever the month is. If it's the second day of the month, she gets 2 days. If it's the 28th day of the month, so then she gets the 28 days. It's a din in, like all of these halachas have to do with menses and with types of cycles that are moon controlled and so on. So it's a din in the month. Okay. And Rabbi Yehuda Merdaya Chotshon, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon say 2 weeks. Ein kishu yoter mishtei shabbatot. You can have, if you've got 40 days, then I don't care. Even if it ends up in a birth 40 days later, we don't attribute it. The kishui is only a maximum of 2 weeks. That's where he said we paskin like Rabbi Yossi. The other thing which Shmuel said about that we paskin like him when it comes to kiddush in a vineyard, that's referring to the Mishnah in Kilayim. The Mishnah in Kilayim says that somebody has a brilliant idea of how he's going to mess up his neighbor. So he takes his vine from his vineyard and he has it grow up over this guy's field, right? So now he figures he's going to, this is sort of a Tomus Nafshi in Plishtim, because of course it's going to kill his vine. But all right, it's good to get rid of this guy. I'll give away a couple of vines. So the din over there is Harezeki Day. She actually messed it up and he made the grain puzzle. And that way it becomes Osirbano. And he's going to have to pay, Divrei Rebbe Meir, because Rebbe Meir holds Doin Din and Degarmi. So when you cause something to become Osir, because something that you did, even though it's not direct, we still Doin Din and Degarmi. Rebbe Yossi, Rebbe Shimon, Oimrim, Ein Adam Osir Davar She'eino Shelo. You can't Osir something that is not yours. Now that's a little bit strange. I mean, what do you mean? You mean if I take a bottle of milk and I pour it into your cholent, so I can't answer it because it's a dover shalom? I mean, that would be very fascinating. Of course, that's not the din. So when it says "Ein Adam Oser Davar She'eino Shelo," Tosfos explains what that means is that something that has to do with the mindset. So let's say somebody bows down to your animal. Does he turn it into an Avodah Zarah and now it becomes Osir? No, because that has to do with his mindset, and his mind does not interact with something that is under your control. It's a fascinating idea because it's an extension of the din of Ba'alut, and that means that a mindset is important. Remember how important it is that we have even this goes a little bit, we even have the story of Chamorro of Ripirkas Ben Yair, and we have, right? In other words, your own mindset actually becomes the mindset of the animal. But it's also true that besides the direct relationship of the mindset, everybody sees this in dogs, right? I mean, the dogs, you could say the dogs start looking at like the owners if you want to be nice. But anyway, but the question is, so the question is, if it's something like that, so remarkably, again, you remember when we learned Kilayim, or we had the sugyas of Kilayim, that the issue of Kilayim has to do with the mindset, which is why it has to do with the graphic way in which we see the mixtures. You can have Kilayim where there's, let's say, you have a fence, you have a chain link fence, and you have one field, one thing planted right up to the vineyard and so on. That's not Kilayim, because the fence becomes... Why does a fence change anything, right? I mean, so we have all of these kind of dinim, or even if you plant two fields in different shapes, you know, so one of them is coming on as a Rosh Tor, it's coming on as an angle and a point to the other field. So even though they touch, it's not considered to be Kilayim. We had this Lagabe planting in a garden where you could have all these six different minim, or depending on who you hold like, or five different minim within an aruga. Okay. Anyway, so there, Tosfos says, that's why it's called a mindset. So this is also, you can't make this other guy's thing into Kilayim, because Kilayim is dependent on your state of mind vis-a-vis the Kilayim. And he brings many riots to this, and we know this. We've had this ourselves. Okay, now, the question is, what was Shmuel's opinion regarding the androgynous? I mean, what Rav's opinion was about the androgynous. Did Shmuel have an opinion? Because he only said that we paskin when it comes to koshi and kiddush like Rabbi Yossi. Did he mean to leave out bedafka androgynous? You're just relying on Rav or what? Tashma, the Omer Shmuel Ravanan. This brisa, remember we just had, is bottle in the face of the Mishnah. So bekame masnisin, which means obviously that is the way that he's paskining. Which Rabbi Yossi? It's just telling you which Rabbi Yossi. Don't think about the brisa where Rabbi Yossi changed his mind. No, no, no. It's like Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah. You can actually be machil truma. And what did Shmuel hold about Harkava? Did he say also that it's 2 weeks? Like Rabbi Yossi Tashma. The Omer le Shmuel le Rav Anan. Tani kemadi Omer shlosha u shloshim. that you should go, when you teach this over in a brisa, you should say that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Yossi. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, you would need 44 days, 30 days plus the 2 weeks. And he said, no, you only need 33 days. Okay. So what we said before, that Rav Paskin, Legabe Androgynous and Legabe Harkava, what would Rav have said about the Shita of Rabbi Yossi Benogea Koshi? Would he also have said that the maximum length of Koshi is 2 weeks, or would he have Paskin like Rabbi Meir, or what would he have said? We don't have any information about that. Okay, what about the din of Ein Adam Osur Davar Sheino Shelo? The story about the Kiddush in the vineyard. What's Rav's opinion about that? Rav Yosef Toshma, the Omer of Huna Omer Rav, ain't alachak Rav Yosef, straight out. It's okay. He says, wait, hold on a second over here. What do you mean, Omer of Huna Omer Rav, ain't alachak Rav Yosef? I happen to know that Rav was quoted by Rav Ada to say exactly the opposite. So, my chazita, the samachta, hai, smocha, hadi Omer of Ada Omer Rav, halachak Rav Yosef. What are you quoting me? Only Rav Huna Omer Rav. If we, Rav also paskin like Rav Yosef, according to some? Excuse me. You forgot that our whole discussion is only in terms of Amre Bei Rav, right? So we wanted to know if the Amre Bei Rav said that Rav said this, that the halacha is like it in the two cases of Androgynous and Harkava. So we're asking, what would the Amre Bei Rav? I got news for you. The Amre Bei Rav is Rav Huna. So don't tell me, well, why rely on Rav Huna? Why do we ask Rav Ada Amar Rav? It's a little silly. We're only talking about Rav Huna. So Amre Bei Rav is Rav Huna. Well, okay, Rav Huna said beforeish. Ein halacha k'Rav Yossi. Okay, so there we go. All right, then we had that Rav Yehuda Tainas that a tumtum is a soris. And therefore, he can't do chalitza. So that no matter what, doesn't matter. He's not going to be able to do chalitza because he is considered to be not chayiv in all mitzvah yibum. Amar Rav Ami, well, what is going to Rebuta's opinion going to be about the famous case of the tumtum in Biri, where osvua bekursei veikra? There's a number of different rishonim about this. The pashtus is that they put him on a hospital bed, and they operated on him, and then he had seven kids. Okay, there's Rav Avram ben Ahar who says that it means that the Usfei Abay Kursei is that they carried him to the chuppah, and then he was Nikra. This is later on. We'll see later on towards the end of the Masechet. We get the details of the story. He was married to a katana, whatever. But the pashtus is that they took him, dragged him into a doctor, and he performed surgery. Rav Yehuda Amalach. So Rav Yehuda will say, well, you know, it would be a good idea to do some DNA testing because they sure as heck ain't his kids. So find out who the daddy is. Chazer al banav me'ayin heb. So we want to know what Rav Yehuda would do about it. I'll tell you what he would do about it, but he sure wouldn't change his mind. Tanya. Rav Yosi by Rav Yehuda. I mean, now, interesting. Rav Yehuda's own son, Rav Yosi, says it differently. And he says a tumtum should not do chalitza if there's any other brothers, because what happens if we do surgery and he turns out to be a soris? Now, his father said he's definitely a soris. So, I mean, it's definitely not the same thing. But what does that mean? What do you mean? maybe he'll turn out to be a woman. It would be pretty bad for him to do chalitza, wouldn't you think? I mean, why are you worried about the soris aspect? I don't understand. Oh, to call the mikra zohar avir, what are we taking for granted? He's definitely a male. Maybe he'll be a soris. That's weird. No, I mean, Rabbi Yossi but Rabbi Yehuda was saying, Shema yikara, and look, and even if he would be a zohar, it really wouldn't make any difference to how we would deal with it, because he might be a soris. Okay, but is there a nafkamina between Rav Yosi bar Rav Yehuda and Rav Yehuda himself? So what's the nafkamina? It's a big nafkamina. Says Rava, what do you mean? Suppose there's a number of brothers, and the one who was the tumtum does chalitza. If one brother does chalitza, then he passes the avama for all the brothers. So that's a tremendous nafkamina. Because if you hold like Rav Yehuda, he says he's definitely a soris. It's his son who said he might be a soris, right? So therefore, if it's only a suffix, so then we'd have to be machmir. And we would say, okay, maybe he passed. So we'd pass the book of Achim. Or Suppose there aren't any brothers at all. It's according to Rabbi Yehuda. You don't need to do chalitza. You don't pass over for a kohen or anything. It's a meaningless thing because he says vada yasaris. And according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, so then there would be, still, it would be a suffix, and he would have to do chalitza just in case. That's two nafkaminas lalach. Omer Rav Shmuel bar Yehuda Omer Rav Abba, Achud Rav Yehuda bar Zavdi, Omer Rav Yehuda Omer Rav, androgynous, that Rav paskind, that an androgynous is a male, no matter what. Vaginally is a male, anally is a male, mishtei mekomot. Meisve, Rav Eliezer Omer androgynous chayavan lo skila kivizachar. Ba'med varim amurim, bezachrut shelo. Only if he was slept with as if he's a male. But, I mean, if you sleep with someone vaginally, how would he be chayev, nakvuchelo? You would be putter. Huh. Yes, but that's no kash on Rav, because hudi omer ki haitana. There's a brayta in which Rabbi Samoy omer, androgynous chayoven alav skila mishtei mikomot. Where do we get this idea from? My time with the Rabbi Samoy. Omar Rava, it's very simple. Baramduri Asbarali. It's the pasuk. It's an amazing way to understand the pasuk. Et zachar lo tishkav mishkevei isha, which is very weird. What do you mean? Don't sleep with a male the way you would with a woman. How can you sleep with a male the way you would with a woman? That's crazy. So where would you have a case like that? Only with an androgynous. Exactly. That's the whole thing that it's saying, right? As a matter of fact, I was going to ask, okay, so how do you know you can't sleep with a male? You can only not sleep with an androgynous, right? Okay, fine, this we'll see. But the pashtus is, okay, so if we're saying, okay, a normal zachar, you can read it like this, a normal zachar, don't be shochev, plus, if there's bishkevei isha, which would be an androgynous, don't sleep with that kind of zachar as of isha. So, okay, so you have both. So Avi Omer is androgynous. Where would we ever find anyone, a male, that you're able to have shtei mishkavot? It's got to be an androgynous. Wait a minute. So the Rabbanan who say that you're chayev only, meaning Rebbe Eliezer, only if you sleep with him anally, so then what do you do with the pasuk? It's talking about an androgynous. I mean, doesn't it say shnei mishkavot? Yes. But that's why it says, et zachar lo tishkav. So it's telling you, even though there are shtei mishkavot, mishkevei isha, but don't relate to him as a zachar. That's the point. Okay, and how do you know then if you're darshaning the pasuk like this? So then that means that you're making use of the word zachar to tell me in the zachrut, but not to tell me a normal male don't sleep with. You're talking only about an androgynous. How do you know that a regular male you're not supposed to sleep with? So Zohar Greta Minole. Where does it say that? So here the Bach changes, and many change the Girsa also, but the Bach changes the Girsa to the word ve'et zachar. So ve'et zachar is an additional vav, and that comes to include even a regular zachar. This is amazing, because it sort of changes, it flips the whole thing in its face. We start with an androgynous. That's the main sexual problem. We're talking about what is an androgynous? And then we need like this remez that this can also learn out. Gosh, there's males who aren't androgynous as well. You can't sleep with them either. It's unbelievable. This is the way the pasuk comes out, according to the Zman Yomim, right? Okay, but how do you know? Wait a second. This is a famous drasha. We learned out from Mishkevei Isha that a woman can be slept with in two ways. And because of that, we learned out all of the dinim. You could be kainer yir yavama, shalo kedarka. You're chayev on an erva, shalo kedarka. How do we know that? I mean, why in the world would we think that a woman is able to be related to anally and still call that? I mean, and why is it just not doing something that has nothing to do with the mice of Bia? Where do we know that from? So if we had the pasuk the way we thought, that it just says Mishkevei isha, that's coming to tell me shtei mishkevot yesh bi isha. Okay, but now you're telling me mishkevei isha is talking about a male with shtei mishkevot, meaning an androgynous. So now how do I know that that's true about the isha? No, because if all I would have had to say et zachar lo tishkav b'mishkavav, or something like that. But what do you mean mishkavei isha? I mean, like, why are we throwing another sex into the problem? All you need to express is the fact that there's different ways, there must be a zachar that can have intercourse in various ways, which would mean an androgynous. But, I mean, it's, to call him an isha, mishkavei isha, is unnecessary. So therefore, it's coming to tell me the din of an isha, that an isha also has shtei mishkavot. Omer of Shizbi, Omer of Chizda. Listen, you gotta understand that when we said Reb Eliezer is a 100% bona fide male, he doesn't mean a male for all things. He means a male for sexual relations. That's all. Lola kol amar Reb Eliezer androgynous zocher ma'al yahu. Because, I mean, if you would hold that that's what he's saying, and I say he's giving a description of a biological status that having additional genital changes don't matter, it's still a zocher. So then if that were true, it should be nogea mugdashim. If you were able to be magdish to the beis hamikdash, mugdashim, that are androgynouses, so it should be a proper ability to make it Kodesh. We'll see what we mean, because bepashtus we'd have a problem that it would be a balmum. You can't be magdish a balmum to a mizbeach. I mean, it certainly looks awfully weird. You know, I mean, if one eye is bigger than another eye, you can't be magdish it to a mizbeach. I would think that if it has different genitals, I mean, it's a pretty big mum. Ein lecha mum gadol mizeh, right? So, okay, so we're going to have to figure out a case where this would be nogea mugdashim. And we have one obvious case, would be the case of a bechor. Because a bechor is kadosh berechem and doesn't have any need for your being makdash. It was kadosh berechem, so then it would obviously be kadosh, even though it was a balmon. So that can't be the issue over here. So if we end up saying that a bechor is not kadosh, or, as we'll see, the Braita, and here is how do we know, minolon de lo kadosh, how do we know that maybe you can in the case of the bechor? Because the Tana Rabbanan. Now here we're talking about over here, the problem of malika of an oath. So remember, if an oath was not properly kadosh, and a kohen does malika to that oath, then it's just a regular nivlas oath tahor. And if you eat it, how do you become tame? Only by eating it. A nivlas oft is not metameyu by touching, not metameyu by carrying. It's only metameyu by eating it. So it says over here that in the event that the Kohen did this malika to a bird that had been nirba, so it had been sodomized by a human, or muktze, so it was set aside for avodah zarah, or it was actually worshipped, or it was used for esnan, or mechir kelev, or, now here's what's important, or it was a tumtum or an androgynous. So then, if you ate it, it would be metame begonim abet abliya, because it's not kodesh at all. Rebbe Eliezer Omer, now here's our issue. Since Rebbe Eliezer is the one who over years said that a human androgynous is vaday zocher, then this next statement of Rebbe Eliezer is inconsistent. Because Rebbe Eliezer says, well, a tumtum androgynous is not going to affect the bird. Why? So far, it's perfectly consistent. Why? Shaya Rebbe Eliezer Omer, if the Torah specified male or female, so then atamotzi tumtum me androgynous vibinehem. So then, fine. It says zachav nekevah. So then it means not a tumtum androgynous. That's already no good. What do you mean? If Rebbe Eliezer holds that an androgynous is a zocher, why when it says zocher is it motzi androgynous vibinehem, right? Okay, so first of all, we have this statement. But it never says that by birds. Where does it say birds are supposed to be male? It doesn't say anything. So, velo nemar bo zachar v'nekevah by birds. So then, tumtum androgynous is not a problem. So then that would mean, but if it's not a bird, if it's another carbon where it does say zachar tabim, so then an androgynous is possible. Omer of Nachum bar Yitzchak, yes, this is gufa. Take a look at the Mishnah. And that would work out very beautifully, because here we have a lovely, lovely diak. And that is that when it says, it explains this, The Mishnah, we're going to see, according to Shmuel, absolutely that there's no way out of this. Because remember, one way that something that is a balmum can be made Kodesh, Kedusha Saguf, is Rabbe Tov, Tov Bera, with a Temura. So if you start off with Kedusha Saguf and a Korban, and you try to transfer that Kedusha to a balmum, then the balmum and that Korban are both Kodesh, right? So then if Androgynous were merely a problem of a mum, so then you should be able to have the Chalais of Kedusha on an Androgynous. And yet we're going to see here that you cannot. Omer Reb Nachman Yitzchak Avadan Dami Tanina, we see this very clearly because Reb Eliezer Omer, Hakilayim, Vatrefa, Vyotze Dofen, these are animals that were born from mixed species, or their trephas, or they were delivered in spicy Syrian section, or tumtum vandrogonus. They cannot make other things kodesh, and you cannot make them kodesh. What do you mean they can't make other things? I'm not sure what that means. They will not be kodesh through tumura. Oh, now we got a problem. So then that means that not only can you not make them kodesh, okay, you couldn't make any balmum kodesh, but you can't even transfer kedusha to them. So you see clearly that he holds that there is absolute psulam androgynous, and it is not considered to be a zachar at all when it comes to kodesh. So memela, do not get confused. All that he meant to say was that binogea sexual relations, that then we view it as a zachar for human sexual relations. As far as the question of the biological status, he wasn't saying that at all. That's considered to be not part of what the Torah was calling either Zachar or Nekeva. Rebbe Liet?
I'd like to pull Rebbe back for a second. It feels like the needle skipped. When the Rabbanan said, the Rabbanan Zachar greater than Minalah, and then there was a Bach there, those two lines, and the Isha Shalom Kedarka. Can Rebbe read that again?
What did I skip? I explained it very well. If you're using the pasuk Zachar, I don't know why you're interrupting in the middle of the dafis.
That's the one that adds Zachar to you, adding above the next line.
I read the next line. Put on your daf recording, and you will hear it. How do we know? When it gave a whole beautiful discussion. How do we know we have the pasuk of Mishkevei Isha that tells us Shtei Mishkevot Yesh B'Isha? Does this ring a bell to you at all? We have a pasuk that says that a woman has shtei mishkavos yesh b'isha benogea, the chiyav of erva or kinyan yavama, and so on and so forth. If you don't have mishkavei isha available to tell you that, because you're using it to tell me the din of an androgynous, how do you know it by an isha? And the Gemara answered, the word isha, it would not have been necessary. We could have said it zachar lo tishkav mishkavav. And that would have told us shtei mishkavav. None of this rings a bell to you.
No, because I was looking for the word Shalom Kedarka, and Rebbe explained it outside, so I missed it. It's my fault.
This is called a Barnea warp, but it's inappropriate to warp the entire flow of the daf. Gosh. All right. Anyway, so Tanya Omar, we got up to Tanya, right? Rebbe Lezer, I'm sorry, yeah? Rebbe Lezer, Chayavin, Alav, Skila, Gizachar. That was the last thing that we said was? Okay, so that's what the Mishnah says. Now, Rebbe said that when I went, Kishalachti Lomot Torah, Eitzel Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, man, oh man, these guys, let me tell you something, they are very protective of Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. I mean, I thought I was going to learn something from him. I was going to sit down there to base a medrash, but you know what these guys are like? You know these roosters, where if a strange rooster tries to come in, No, they're not going to let anybody in to get at their girls. That's the way they treated me when I was trying to learn by Rebbe Elazar ben Shamua. I'm telling you, I felt like I was a strange rooster in a barnyard over here. And I managed to get one thing out of him before I was almost wiped out. And that was Rebbe Eliezer Omer, Androgynous Chayavin Olav Skila Kizachar. That's what Rebbe Elazar ben Shamua taught me. That was Rebbe Eliezer Sheet, and he explained the whole thing to me, and then I got out of there with this by the skin of my teeth, let me tell you. Okay. And this brings us to the exciting moment of Sir Richard. Hadra Alecha Arel. I don't know how many people really want to do that, but it really is fun. The 10th time around.